I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jonathan Gaboni is an NBA draft analyst over at ESPN. He's the founder of DraftExpress.com, and he had the breaking news this morning that Earl Timberlake has committed to play for the University of Memphis. Jonathan joins us now. Jonathan, how you doing, man? Appreciate the time as always.
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Well, I think people in Memphis are certainly very excited.
Pleasure to have you.
About this news, and so we always appreciate
your time.
Yeah, so in terms of what Memphis is getting in Earl Timberlake, what are they getting?
They're getting a 6'7" athlete with an NBA body who can guard 1 through 4, can really, really pass the ball, and I thought in his high school senior year was making significant strides as a shooter. I went to see him twice live, and I watched quite a bit of film on him as well, both against, you know, teams like Montverde Academy. They played them on TV. Also in the DC playoffs, he played some very high level games against guys like Trevor Keels and Jeremy Roach. He played with Hunter Dickinson, who's at Michigan now. So I actually, you know, we had him as a 16th pick in the 2021 draft in the preseason. And I don't do that lightly for a guy who was, you know, he was ranked, you know, in the late 20s, early 30s by all the recruiting services. Mm-hmm. But every time I saw him, you know, whether it was at USA Basketball or at the Hoop Hall Classic, I said, you know, this guy has a real chance to be one and done. And so I spent a lot of time watching film, doing research, talking to every people that have worked with him, and he all said the same thing. They said, Jonathan, you're not missing anything. He's that kind of kid. He's exactly what the NBA is looking for. And if he has the kind of year that we think he's going to have, he's got a great chance to be a first-round pick, to be a top 20 draft pick. Unfortunately, things just didn't go that way for him. He had an ankle injury to start and then the shoulder injury, which was very significant, and he's still dealing with it now. And so he only played 7 games, and I spoke with the guys at Miami. They told me one of the reasons that the injury lingered for him was he's such a hard worker that he just couldn't, we could not keep him out of the gym. All he wanted to do was shoot and shoot and shoot and shoot all day long because that's the type of work ethic he has. And he exacerbated the injury. We could not get him healthy. And so that was part of the reason why, you know, he wanted to tough it out. He wanted to play through these games. He wanted to help the team because they were dealing with so many other injuries. And that's part of the reason why, you know, he just didn't have the kind of season that we all thought he would. But, you know, hopefully for him, he, you know, he's got, you know, great medical staff. He, you know, the doctor of the Baltimore Ravens is working with him. And, wow. And so, you know, he's going back home. He's going to rehab the injury. He said he does not need surgery. And if he's healthy, I think Memphis is getting an absolute stud. I think, and he's really tailor-made for what they do, for the way they play. And so I think Memphis fans should be really excited about what they're getting in Earl Timberlake.
You know, and you asked him about the shoulder injury, you know, for your piece, and he basically said, you know, I hope I don't have to have surgery. I don't expect to have surgery on it right now, and that he's just going to rehab. But is this going to be something in terms of the people that you've talked to him, that, you know, talking to Earl Timberlake, do you think this is something that we're going to really have to monitor in Memphis, just the progression of that shoulder and what happens over the next couple of months with it?
Well, I'm not a doctor, first of all, and I haven't seen the MRIs, so I'm not really qualified to speak on that. But, I mean, it sounds like he's getting great medical care, and he's been out for months and months now, you know, working on this injury, taking care of it. You know, it's not like he's jumping into rehab now for the first time. This is what he dealt with, you know, since November. So I think that they're on top of it, you know, and I mean, there's really good doctors in Miami, and, you know, at home he's got this, you know, medical staff that's highly qualified from the NFL that's, you know, diagnosed the injury and says this is how we have to treat it. So my assumption that it's going to be okay, but again, I'm not a doctor and I don't have a crystal ball, so I'm not exactly sure how it's going to play out. But I mean, he's young, and I'm you know, these injuries, they tend to heal.
Yep. Mm-hmm. In terms of how you think he'll be used at Memphis, is he just a guy who you throw out there anywhere, basically? Like, could he play some point guard? Could you see him sort of filling time there? Like, how is he best utilized on the court?
I think he's a small forward who, because he's so big and strong and long, he can definitely move to the four as well if you want to play like a four-guard lineup, which Memphis has done quite a bit of. You know, yep. We saw Lester Quinones play the five even, you know. So, like, if you want to throw him at the five some, that's doable too. You know, like, we'll see what decision Musa Cisse does here, you know. But, like, and I think he's that kind of guy that he doesn't care, you know. Like, if you say, put a body on this guy in the post, he'll do that. You know, you say, I want you to stick you on this point guard now. Like, he shut down Jeremy Roach, you know, like, in one of the biggest games of his high school career. So, you know, I saw him go up against Evan Mobley. Like, so he's played against high-level competition. And he doesn't have an ego in that regard. And you talk to him, he says, defense, that's my calling card, you know. So, like, I think he knows that the NBA is multi-positional now. And if you can show that you can guard big guys too, that helps. And I think that helps with, you know, some of the guys that are on Memphis' roster now, you know, like Landers, Nolly, you know, guys, those guys aren't the most physical dudes around. Yep. And so having a tough guy like that is going to help a lot.
Oh, we know Penny loves it because, you know, they were number one in defensive efficiency last year. So this guy's, you know, right up his alley. You mentioned the guy I wanted to ask you about, Jonathan Musa Cisse. Obviously testing the waters. What's he going to find out from the NBA folks, Jonathan?
I think they're going to tell him that he needs more time in college. You know, it might be 1 year and it might be more. You know, he improved throughout the year. He had a decent year, but, you know, he elected to reclassify. He skipped his senior year of high school. And, you know, physically, it was just hard for him. You know, a lot of games, you know, you saw, you know, Charles Bassey, for example, but he can't guard a guy like that, you know. So the NBA is no different in that regard. Those are men, you know. And so I think Musa, you know, he's testing the water. He's going to get whatever feedback he gets. You know, we'll see if it's not a home run that if he pulls out of the draft, he returns to Memphis. There's going to be other options for him, you know, to 50, you know. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, our expectation.
We don't think
that
he's coming back, John.
Yeah, that he's probably played his last game with the University of Memphis.
I think that's a safe bet. Yeah, that's what I'm hearing too.
But on Musa, right? Clearly, this is a situation, and it's not the first time that this has ever happened in world history, and it won't be the last. But clearly, they feel like coming in, they were one place, right, and leaving Memphis, they're not in that place. They're in a different place than they expected to be. Is that fair? Is it fair to say for Musa's camp, if that is being said, that we did not get what we expected to get out of being at Memphis? Would that be fair? I mean, because I'm sure there are feelings involved. What would you sort of say to that?
It's hard for me to agree with that. You know, I mean, I don't know what the expectations were. It's not like he's a guy that you can drop the ball into 20 times and tell him go to work with your back to the basket and go get us 30. You know, it's just not the kind of player he is. And so, you know, maybe he felt like, you know, there wasn't enough passing on the team or whatever. You know, it's a team where everybody's out to get his every night. And that's one of the things that made Memphis so fun to watch, you know, is that, like, it can come from anywhere, and he's probably not going to get, you know, the number of touches that he's expecting. Right. Now, what would have happened had he got all the touches, I'm not sure. He's not an offensive reference right now, you know, and also he's not somebody that can just back you down, dominate you with his back to basket. And so, I mean, a lot of games he was in foul trouble, you know, good passes were thrown his way, he wouldn't catch them. So I think it's a two-way street, you know, and yes. I haven't spoken to him specifically to hear, you know, what his if he has any complaints or anything like that. You know, I just think that, like, not everybody's on the same timeline always, and
right.
You know, so sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't.
Well, and look, when you shoot 32% from the free throw line, like, unfortunately, at the end of close games, it's going to be tough to play you. I mean, it just is. I can't blame Penny Hardaway for that. I do want to ask you, though, is it something we live in a different time now where it doesn't necessarily just have to be I get drafted, right? There are other avenues that you can pursue if you're a guy like Musa Cisse, whether it's G League or, you know, something. Like, do you think those alternative routes could be or would be on the table for a guy like him who was ranked in the top 10 come out of high school?
I mean, I think a guy that clearly wasn't physically ready for the rigors of college basketball, you know, playing in the American Conference, I don't think the next logical step is, let me go play against grown men now. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that doesn't compute for me, you know? So
yes.
I think he's got a lot of work to do strength-wise to get where he wants to go. And going up against guys who are bigger, stronger, more experienced, it's not going to make it any easier for him.
And then Greg Brown, I got to ask you about this, Jonathan, but because I wonder, you look at what Jalen Green and Kuminga have done going that G League route, and at the least, right, they've preserved their stock, it feels like, looking at your most recent mock draft certainly is evidence of that. Did Greg Brown make a mistake? Because obviously he's dropped down. Should he have gone that way? You know, what do you think at this point?
It's hard to know, you know, how he would have played in the G League. You know, it's true that, you know, Kuminga and Jalen Green started the year top five, and they ended it. They're going to end it in the top five, whereas Dacian Nix started the season, you know, in the lottery, and he's in the late second round on our draft board now.
That's true.
You know,
yeah.
Where at the same time, Isaiah Todd started the year undrafted on our board, and now he's in the mid-second round. So there's a lot of different ways that this thing can go. I do think that, you know, there's an appeal to the G League, knowing that you're going to be allowed to play through your mistakes,
yep,
where wins and losses aren't as important, where you could shoot the ball as many times as you. It's encouraged. You know, when you get the ball, you're open, shoot it. You know, I mean, and so it's just a different style of basketball. And maybe it's closer to the style of basketball that you see in the NBA than what you see in college, actually. I mean, I think there's a good case to be made for that. But, yeah, it's hard to know, you know. I mean, I think he knew what he was getting into with the fact that they had Kai Jones, you know, at his position.
Yep.
They had Jericho Sims, you know, they had Brock Cunningham, they had Royce Hannon. So there were guys there, you know, and Shaka obviously was feeling a lot of pressure down the stretch, needed to win games, and he decided this guy's not going to get me closer to my goals. And, you know, whether he was right or wrong, I mean, that's just what happened.
Yep.
We are, of course, talking to Jonathan Cavone, covers the NBA draft, NBA draft analyst for ESPN. You mentioned it. You got your brand new post NCAA tournament up at ESPN.com, ESPN Insider. It is absolutely worth a subscription just for Jonathan's content. I am curious to get your opinion. I saw your colleague Myron Metcalf. He pointed out guys like Davion Mitchell, his stock improved. Max Armas from Oral Roberts, his stock improved as a result of the NCAA tournament. And Myron sort of juxtaposed that with the G League, saying that this is what the G League can't compete with, the NCAA tournament and the exposure that is attached to it. Yes, it did help those guys, but do you agree with that, or do you think it's sort of just a coincidence that happened in the NCAA tournament?
I don't think it's a coincidence. I mean, there's a lot of different routes that players can take to becoming NBA players, and there's no one correct one for anybody. I mean, Davion Mitchell played 4 years of college basketball. The G League was not an option for him, and it would not be. The G League is for 1 year, you know, so you'd be ready to be one and done. Davion Mitchell obviously was not ready to be one and done. Max A. Smith also played multiple years in college,
yes.
So I just don't look at it as an apples-to-apples comparison, you know, and I think Joe, I mean, if you ask Jalen Green, did you make a mistake, you know, making $500,000 and getting access to all these endorsement deals and all this high-level training and Brian Shaw, phenomenal coach, coaching, I don't think he's going to have any regrets. So there's different ways of, you know, slicing it. So I think every player's got to choose the best route for him.
Hey, Jonathan, man, great stuff
as
always. We appreciate your time as always, man. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. Have a great day, guys.
You too.
He is Jonathan Cavone. Covers the NBA Draft 4, Draft Express.
Okay, can we, like, when Gavoni's got it too, and we can
put Musa to bed.
And the idea that Musa might be coming back to Memphis to bed.
Are there
like
people
story
out there hoping on that, man?
And then some, you know, mailbags, stuff like that.
and it's
just
in,
for anybody, you know.
And it's a mailbag.
No, I'm not putting it that way or singling anybody out. But, yeah. but we've had to sort of include. Here's where Memphis's scholarships are now. Can we not?
Well,
just
the Jason and John show was not including Musa in the damn.
What I'm saying is the rest of the world,
yes,
John.
Yes. Well, hopefully the rest of the world will indeed let Musa.
When Gavone's saying it, it's even if he's coming, if
gotta,
he goes back to college, it ain't gonna be at Memphis. It's
you gotta let Musa go. You gotta let him go. It is what it is. It's over.
But what did he say?
Well, he said he's not gonna like the feedback he gets. Basically, he said he's gonna be told
need
more time.
Not to that question. To the question I asked Herd.
Oh,
to the
yeah.
question me and you were arguing about.
Yes.
What could Memphis have done?
Right. And he said, I would disagree with any, like, why would there be complaints? Memphis did not use you any differently than anybody would have.
And then you literally gave him more ammo with the 32%. I mean, that's how, yeah. I can't see how you can argue the other side.
But
I'm
a fan of Musa, and I've
oh, we're rooting for him, sure.
You know, I really hope that he, you know,
it's a bad decision.
Yeah.
I told you that then, though. And I'm telling you that now. And now Gavone's backing it up.
Well, he's just testing the waters, man, okay? He's just testing the waters, and then he'll likely transfer from Memphis. I mean, that's what we talked about. That's what we've been talking about. And Jonathan Gavone corroborated that, and he's the guy that was all over the
Musa
reclass.
If he decides to go G League and gets good money off or whatever it is, he might not go that route.
But see, you focusing on the negative. The positive is that Earl Timberlake, I mean, I think Jonathan Gavone would have him as the number four in overall pick in 2021 if he's healthy. He loves him. He loves Earl Timberlake, and it's just rare. It's rare to hear Jonathan gush about a player like that.
Because it's his, it's his reputation and his credibility.
Absolutely, he sees guys all the time,
and it's almost like he wanted to interrupt you to get. He was so excited to talk about the kid.
Yes,
like, he's that high.
Yes.
On him, and it sounds like he thinks that this shoulder injury is going to be, minor in terms of you're going to be able to get through.
He's working.
Hasn't been minor.
He's working with the Baltimore Ravens doctor.
But in the sense that you don't have to have the surgery, he thinks the kid's going to recover fully.
The good news is that you can't work with anybody better than the friggin' Baltimore Ravens team doctor.
How do you get that team doctor when you're a prospect before he?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Why? Where's the Miami team? The Miami doctor.
Well, he's not at Miami anymore.
Well, that's what I'm saying at that point. And so Miami doctors are on it at one point. Because he only plays seven games,
right.
And then it gets handed over to the Baltimore Ravens doctor?
That's a good question. I don't know. I'm assuming he's not been with Miami for a while, I have to believe, right? He transferred last month. He's probably it sounds like, according to him, he's working so hard. That's why it hasn't necessarily healed yet. So, depending on
– sit your tail down.
No doubt. You're going to have to take a couple months off.
Let that thing heal up.
We need you to play. We need you to
– Now, he says he'll be right by the summer.
Yes,
he told Gavone in that story he'd be right by the summer.
Much like the rest of American society, he is predicting a return to normalcy by the summer. And that is good to hear.
He said you put him at he said he could guard the 1-4.
No, he's not a point guard. I think Jonathan made that very clear.
But he made it clear he's not a point.
He's a 3/4. He's a wing. I mean, that's what he is. He's DJ Jeffries.
That's what we said.
He is.
This is DJ's.
You hope he is an upgrade over DJ Jeffries. That is what you hope if you're Penny Hardaway. Does the same. It sounds to me like he does he's the DC DJ Jeffries.
Well, he had him 16 in which draft?
This year's.
Before the injury?
Yes. Yes.
Lord.
Yeah, so you're getting a lottery pick, basically.
And this dude is healthy. Lord.
That's what it comes down to. That's what it sounds like it comes down to for me.
Lord. The possibility that they could be better, John, is there.
Yes. But he's not a true four, right? Like, he's a wing. That's what he is. And that's why it doesn't really step on the toes of Jonathan Lawson or Chandler Lawson, if that's the direction it ends up going. If Chandler Lawson and Jonathan Lawson don't end up here, it's going to be because they just like an opportunity better elsewhere.
Penny Hardaway thinks he can make it work, but more importantly, he thinks he can convince Jonathan of that, because you don't offer Jonathan Lawson last night not knowing that you're getting Earl Timberlake today. Clearly he knew and thinks he can make it all work out. Now that he's going to be convincing them of that, convincing the Lawsons of that, if they indeed end up being the final two pieces.
Yes. So great stuff there from Jonathan
Gavone
on Earl Timberlake and Musa Cisse. I will say real quick before we go to break here, in terms of the guys that I like, I want you to mark and remember this, Jason, the guys that I like in this draft, okay? Remember these names for me. Yeah, as you know, I'm a soothsayer. I predicted the greatness of Trae Young, as you know, early on, and also De'Aaron Fox called that one as well. James Bouknight, okay? James Bouknight,
UConn,
the guard from UConn.
Yeah.
And Io. I think if Io lasts until 22, like he has in this draft.
You love him more than the scouts do.
What? Every time I looked up.
He's 6'4", man.
I don't care.
And 6'6".
Every time I looked up,
and watched Illinois basketball, this dude was making a big shot.
Until the big game.
Well, I don't care about that. That's results-oriented. All right.
You don't care about big game performances?
I mean, look, they won the Big Ten, or we're in the mix for winning the Big Ten. You know, I mean, so I think that matters. And if Michigan would have gave another game, maybe they would have won the Big Ten. You know, who knows?
I'm going to tell you what. Davion Mitchell, number 7.
You don't like that?
No.
It's high, but he's a big game player now.
That's it.
He's a big game player. But I like Ayo Dosunmu. I like Ayo Dosunmu, and dude, I would like him for the Grizzlies.
You know the other thing about Davion Mitchell is he's 22 and he's almost 23 years old.
Nah, that's the thing, right?
By far the oldest in the first round. He would be. Here's the kid from Oregon, Chris Duarte is almost 24. Is that yes? Almost
yeah,
24 years old.
I'm just telling you right now. I'm telling you right now. If you get Ayo Dosunmu in the 20s, congratulations.
Well, he'll
to
be
your
there
franchise.
For your Grizzlies.
Please. Please draft him, Grizzlies.
He has the Grizz taking Kai Jones, who he just Gavoni just talked about is what hurt Greg Brown because Kai was already there.
I don't want Kai
6'10
Jones.
Power forward.
What do we need a power forward?
Why do you need another power
Xavier
forward?
Tillman. Then we just
and who looks
Xavier.
Good?
Yes, yes. And also, here's the thing. Here is the thing. I don't want anybody from that Texas team.
You know who's not in here, and his new updated mock draft is Juzang.